Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alexander McCall-Smith, and I'm going to do something a little bit unusual this afternoon in the half hour at my disposal. I'm going to read two excerpts. They're each brief. I hasten to point out there's nothing worse than being faced with a very long excerpt from somebody's books. And one of them is specially written for today, and that's the one which I'll look at first. And it's a short story. I'm going to read you a short story that I began yesterday here in Key West and finished this morning at about... I finished at about half past five in the morning, having got up at 4 o'clock to do it. And it's in honour. This short story is written in honour of the Key West Literary Seminar, and it's dedicated to Miles Friedan. And it's written in recognition of all that Miles has done to make this literary festival such a great one. Now, will it be noir or will it be Florida glare? Neither. It's an entirely new genre called Key West social semi-realism, or semi-social Key West realism. And the distinguishing feature of this genre is that, unlike most detective fiction, it's all true. Only the facts have been changed to protect the reputation of the place. The names remain the same, except where they've been changed. It's very short. This new genre as a genre is always very short. Nothing written in it takes more than 15 minutes to read. But reading time isn't the issue. What really counts is the thinking time that follows. This allows for such thoughts such as, why did I read that, to be given full consideration. Now, enough of the preliminaries. Short stories shouldn't have preliminaries because that takes up space that could otherwise be used by the narrative. The exception to this rule is that when the narrative is no use, then the preliminaries should ideally be longer than the story itself, or indeed should completely replace the story. There are some books that have been saved from failure by the cutting out of the story in favour of the introduction or the preface. And this has the additional advantage of deflecting criticism, as a plot cannot be criticised if it simply doesn't exist. And this is reflected in literary awards. There's now a prestigious literary award for an author who has not written a book in any particular year. And authors who have not written a book for 10 years are eligible for an even more prestigious award. But these awards are based on merit. Not just anybody can get one. You have to be able to show that you had the talent that it would have taken to write the book that you actually haven't written. But enough of all this. On to the short story itself, which has the title The Idea of Disorder at Key West. It's written in the first person, but that, of course, doesn't mean that it's me talking. Usually when the first person is used in fiction, it means that the narrator is somebody else altogether. It's the third person that is usually the real first person. So we'll get there eventually. A writer who uses the pronoun he or she is usually talking about himself or herself. Everybody knows that, except the writers themselves, of course. So here we go. Chapter one of The Idea of Disorder at Key West. I'd never been to Key West, but had accepted an invitation for a gathering called the Key West Literary Seminar. I accepted, as many of the major proponents of contemporary crime fiction would be there. It's a little-known fact that the real reason why authors attend literary festivals is to avoid the shame of being thought not to have been invited. And the organizers know this and head their invitations with the following words: everybody will be there. This guarantees 100% acceptance. So I received an invitation from Miles Friedan, executive director of the Key West Literary Seminar. Please come to Key West. Everybody will be there. I wrote back, I'm coming. Chapter two. I was met at the airport in Key West by Miles and his colleague Karen. They took me to my accommodation, and we arranged to meet for dinner an hour or two later in Louis' backyard, a restaurant nearby. Louis greeted us at the door and referred us to the maitre d', also known as Louis. Louis, the chef, waved from the kitchen. Is Louis a common name round here? I asked. It could be, said Miles. Not too common, though, but if you go to a place called Louis', you must expect to encounter it. Possibly, I said. I realized, though, that he was right. Sometimes what seems obvious is not as obvious as it seems. As a writer of crime novels, one has to be aware of the unobvious concealing itself as the obvious, and vice versa, of course, all other things being equal, which, of course, they very rarely are. Chapter 3. I told you the chapters would be short. The catch of the day was yellow-tailed snapper. I asked the waiter who caught it, and he thought for a moment. We don't normally reveal that sort of thing, he said. I'll ask Louis. He went off for a moment. I hope you don't think my question unduly intrusive, I said to Miles. Not in the least, he replied. I meet a lot of authors in my job, and I can assure you that all of them are highly intrusive people. Your question wasn't unduly so. The waiter returned. The fisherman who caught the yellow-tailed snapper was called Louis, he said. He has a small boat that sails out from one of the other key islands called Key Louis. He paused. Anything else? I suggested octopus, and he shook his head. I meant any other questions. Chapter 4. Over the yellow-tailed snapper, I observed to Miles and Karen, I like this place. It seems like a good, relaxed town. Miles and Karen exchanged a glance, and I sensed that my comment had strayed into sensitive territory. Yes, it is, said Miles, but at the moment there's something going on. Going on here in Key West, I asked. Miles nodded. He lowered his voice. We have a burglar, he said. Only one, I said. Only one, I said. Having one burglar seemed to me rather like having only one cockroach. Highly unusual. Highly unusual. Oh, there may be others, said Miles, but this one is something special. This one, he broke off, looking over his shoulder. I was aware that at a neighboring table the conversation dropped. Miles lowered his voice even further. Now he was speaking barely above a whisper. Yes, he continued, this one is operating down near the cemetery, and he's stealing Apple Mac products. That's all, just Apple Macs. I remembered the label on the back of my MacBook Air, designed in California, assembled in China, and I wondered now if they would add stolen in Key West. I urged him to continue. The police are at their wits' end, he said. They have a fuzzy security camera picture of the suspect, but nothing else to go on. How extraordinary, I said. An idea was coming into my mind. It was something of a coincidence, but just as a whole cohort of crime writers was coming into town, the community was suffering from a bout of highly unusual burglaries, all in one area, and all very specifically directed against Apple Mac products, computers, iPhones, and iPads. I turned to Miles. I'd like to help solve this, I said. I'm sure I speak for the rest of them in saying this. I'm sure I speak for people like Carl Harrison and Scott Turow and all the others, of course, in saying, let's sort this out this weekend. Miles said nothing at first, but then he nodded. I'm sure that would be very much appreciated, he said. The Key West Literary Seminar tries its best to do something for the community, and this may, this may be just the thing. I looked past Miles out of Louis' window at the sea outside and thought of Wallace Stevens' poem, The Idea of Order at Key West. Order at Key West, disorder at Key West. I had an idea. Chapter 5. Miles arranged for me to speak to the police chief. He was most courteous and answered all my questions in a very patient way. I said to him, it's interesting that these burglaries are taking place down near the cemetery. What do you think that tells us? It's the folks who live down there, said the chief. They don't lock their doors as much as they should. Some of them haven't even got doors. We're very casual people here in Key West. You should always have a door, I said. That's what I keep telling them, said the chief. But you can't force them. Do they have windows, I asked. No, he said, it's mostly Apple Mac down there. That's why... I tried a new line of questioning. I wonder if the cemetery has anything to do with it. Do you think the burglar is somebody who lives in the cemetery? The chief shook his head. I've thought of that, he said, but they all have a pretty good alibi. Which is, I asked. They're all... they're all dead, he said. And that... And that's the sort of alibi you just can't break. I've tried it, but that alibi always stands up in court, I can tell you. I had to agree with him. This was tougher than I thought. But then I put my idea to him. He listened with interest. Might work, he said. We could try it. Chapter 6. The idea, I explained to the police chief, was simple. Put a new high-resolution iPad in a very prominent place in the window of somebody living down near the cemetery. Leave a highly distinctive jacket beside it, a really fashionable item of clothing. Then leave the scene and see what happens. He looked puzzled. Why the jacket? He asked. Well, I said, a burglar who takes Apple Macs must be a man of good taste. Apple is a style icon, so this man is no PC type. He appreciates Macs. He's a man of style and discernment. The police chief began to smile. So he'd appreciate a well-tailored jacket? He would, I said. And he makes off with both? That's right, I said. Then the next morning you get all your men to cruise around in their cars looking for a man wearing that jacket. Arrest him. The police chief was shaking his head in wonderment. If that isn't the smartest, most cunning plan I've ever heard of, he said, his voice cracking in admiration. Thank you, I said. We spend a lot of time on plotting, so this sort of thing becomes second nature, I said. Chapter 7. The next day was the first day of the Key West Literary Seminar. We were all in the San Carlos Institute, milling about, preparing for the first session, when I saw it, the unmistakable jacket. I frantically signaled to Miles. Miles, I whispered, the Apple Mac burglar's here. He's at the Literary Seminar. They waited until he asked a question in the Q&A session. Then they swooped. iPhones tumbled out of his pockets. There were several iPads in the bag he was carrying. He looked at me balefully. That's the last of your books I'm going to read, he said. I promise you that. Did you pay for them at the bookstore, or did you steal them, I challenged. Yes, said several of the other authors, joining in. Did you pay for them? Go on, tell us. The burglar looked abashed. Just as I thought, said one of the authors. Chapter 8, the last chapter. The rest of the seminar went very well. Everybody was pleased that the cemetery burglar had been caught. And since this story is a cozy one, it was discovered that there were extenuating circumstances in his case, and he was let off with a police warning. As a child, he'd been deprived of apples. It transpired, and his mother was called Eve. It all stacked up in Freudian terms. He was referred for therapy and did very well. Everybody was very pleased. Billy Collins wrote a poem about the whole affair that appeared in his next collection. The police department basked in the credit that accompanies a successful arrest. The Literary Seminar's reputation was enhanced. Order had been restored to Key West, just as Wallace Stevens had envisaged it would be. And that, of course, is what a good resolution is all about. Resolution means sorting things out. It doesn't just mean having a clearer screen on your iPad. But as the expression goes, let's not go there. Thank you.